Thanksgiving weekend in Houston was warm and quiet. A sanitation worker rolled his truck down a suburban roadside, thinking the shape near the curb was a mannequin. When he stepped closer, he froze. It was a woman, unclothed, lifeless, left as if the world had simply stopped around her. Within hours, the name spread through phones and feeds. Alexis Sharkey, 26, a rising social media figure known for her bright images, skincare tips, and endless energy. Friends had been calling her since the night before, worried when her texts went silent. By morning, they learned what police already suspected. She had not run away. Her life, followed by thousands online, had ended in the shadows of a city she called home. As detectives began mapping her final hours, they faced a question that went deeper than any timeline. How did a woman who shared everything with the world end up so completely alone? Chapter 1: The Discovery. The sun had barely risen over Houston when a city sanitation truck rumbled along Red Haw Lane, a quiet stretch lined with trees and low concrete curbs. The driver, a man who had worked the route for years, slowed when he noticed something pale at the edge of the road. At first he thought it was a mannequin dumped from a store display. But when he stopped the truck and stepped closer, the stillness told him otherwise. The body lay face up, unclothed, the skin marked by small scratches from the roadside brush. He called police at once. Within minutes, yellow tape stretched across the area. Detectives marked tire tracks, measured distances, and shielded the scene from curious passersby. The woman carried no purse, no phone, no identification. What struck the officers most was how clean the scene looked. No sign of a struggle, no nearby vehicle, no trail leading away. It looked like she had been placed there carefully. Hours later, the Houston Police Department's homicide unit confirmed what first responders suspected. The body had not been there long. Her hair was still damp from what might have been a shower. The temperature overnight had stayed mild, which meant little environmental damage. The absence of defensive wounds confused early theories. Whoever she was, she had not fought for long. That afternoon, missing person calls began to arrive. Friends of 26-year-old Alexis Sharkey had spent the morning posting online, asking for help finding her. She had last been seen the night before, leaving her apartment after a Thanksgiving dinner with friends. She told them she needed space and would be home later. By morning, her phone went straight to voicemail. When police cross-checked the photos, the match was immediate. The name spread fast. Alexis was well known on social media. Her posts filled with filtered light, motivational quotes, and travel snapshots. She sold beauty products and lifestyle tips, drawing thousands of followers who saw her as confident and unstoppable. Her friends described her as sharp, ambitious, and funny, a woman who wanted more out of life than ordinary days. That image began to unravel within hours of her identification. Detectives arrived at her apartment complex, a modern unit not far from downtown. Her husband, Tom Sharkey, opened the door. He was 34 tall, with a calm tone that struck officers as both polite and detached. He told them he had last seen Alexis on Friday evening after an argument. She had stormed out to clear her head, he said, and he assumed she would come back later. He claimed he went to bed early and woke up to find her still gone. Officers noted his calmness. They also noted small inconsistencies. He mentioned she left without her car, but the keys were still on the counter. Her phone charger was missing, yet the phone itself was not with her. There was no forced entry, no sign of violence inside the apartment. The scene was orderly, even too clean. By nightfall, Alexis's friends gathered near the scene where her body had been found. They brought candles and flowers, still unable to believe what they were hearing. Many had spent the weekend exchanging messages trying to locate her. Several told reporters they had sensed something was wrong long before this. She had confided that her marriage was strained, that she planned to leave soon, that she feared what might happen when she finally did. The medical examiner's office began its work that same evening. Preliminary findings showed bruising consistent with manual strangulation. Toxicology screens would take weeks, but there was little doubt about the cause of death. Detectives focused on her last known movements. Security footage from the apartment's lobby showed her leaving alone around 6 p.m. the night before her body was found. Cameras farther down the road failed to track her path. The city buzzed with speculation. News outlets ran headlines about a social media star found dead. Followers filled comment sections with theories and sympathy. Some saw her death as part of a darker pattern. Women projecting perfect lives online while hiding private turmoil. Investigators, meanwhile, stayed quiet. They interviewed friends, reviewed text messages, and requested warrants for digital data. The early goal was simple: build a timeline. By the second day, detectives knew that Alexis's marriage had been faltering. Friends described heated arguments, periods of separation, and posts that hinted at conflict without naming it. Tom Sharkey gave several interviews to local stations, insisting he was being unfairly judged. "She wasn't murdered," he said at first, suggesting she might have died accidentally. Police corrected that statement soon after, confirming it was indeed a homicide. Behind the scenes, investigators built a picture of Alexis's final 24 hours. After dinner with friends, she drove home but did not stay long. Phone records showed several unanswered calls between her and her husband. The last text from her phone went out shortly after 8 p.m., routine and friendly, sent to a close friend. After that, nothing. The next morning's discovery filled in the missing gap. Forensics teams examined the roadside soil, tire marks, and fibers found near the body. The location, less than 5 miles from her home, suggested familiarity. The person who placed her there likely knew the area well. No witnesses had come forward, but investigators noted that few cars used that stretch at night. At a press briefing on Monday, police avoided naming any suspects. They asked for the public's help in identifying vehicles seen near the scene. Reporters pressed for answers, but the department stayed cautious. They needed lab results, phone data, and autopsy confirmation before releasing details. Inside the community of influencers who knew her, shock turned into grief. Many reposted her photos with memories of her energy and drive. To them, Alexis represented the modern hustle, turning everyday life into brand and business. Yet the same online space that celebrated her also became a mirror of speculation. Strangers dissected her captions, her tone, her marriage photos, searching for signs they might have missed. For the detectives, those online traces were more than background noise. They revealed patterns, times when posts stopped, captions that contradicted real-life events, comments later deleted. The more they studied the contrast, the clearer it became. Alexis had been living between two realities. One for the public, polished and bright. Another, private and tense, defined by arguments and uncertainty. Her mother arrived from Pennsylvania within days to collect her belongings and meet investigators. She spoke softly in interviews, describing her daughter as driven but exhausted by pressure. She had last spoken with Alexis days before Thanksgiving, when Alexis mentioned feeling trapped and wanting to start fresh in the new year. The funeral came quickly. Friends filled the small Houston chapel, many wearing pastel shades she had loved. The service mixed quiet tears with disbelief. Outside, reporters waited for updates. Police kept their distance, focusing on lab results and interviews still underway. They had no arrest yet, but they were not short of suspicion. In the weeks that followed, the investigation tightened. Detectives reviewed Tom Sharkey's movements that weekend, his phone pings, and the vehicle he drove. They also examined home security data from nearby properties. Small inconsistencies began to appear. Time gaps, misremembered routes, unclear alibis. Yet none of it, at that stage, crossed the line into proof. By early December, the case had entered what investigators called the quiet phase. Public updates slowed, but behind the scenes, data analysts pulled phone logs, cell tower hits, and geolocation data from social media accounts. Every new piece filled the timeline a little more. For the public, Alexis's story became more than a crime. It was a mirror held up to a generation of curated lives. Followers who had once envied her confidence began posting about mental health, relationship safety, and the dangers of assuming happiness from a screen. As December turned into January, detectives believed they were closing in. They now understood how Alexis left home, how her body was placed, and who likely had access during that window of hours. But they still needed one link. The proof that tied proximity to action. That link would come later, after months of analysis and quiet cooperation between jurisdictions. For now, the first chapter of the case closed where it began, a roadside, a quiet morning, and a question echoing through every headline and home she had touched. How did someone who seemed to have everything end up left by the side of the road? The investigation had only just begun. Chapter 2, The Dual Life. By mid-December, the investigation into Alexis Sharkey's death had shifted focus from the discovery to the deeper story of her life. Detectives now knew her final hours, but not the forces that brought her there. To understand the crime, they had to understand the woman behind the filtered images that once filled thousands of screens. Alexis Robinault Sharkey had built her career in the open. Her phone was her office. Her face, her product. She posted beauty tutorials, fitness routines, and motivational captions that spoke to an audience she never met. Each post carried a kind of brightness. Sunlight streaming across countertops, healthy meals lined up in sequence, smiles that seemed effortless. But those who knew her best said the tone had changed in the months before her death. Her captions were still upbeat, but her voice notes and messages to close friends carried a weight that her public persona never showed. She had moved to Houston with her husband, Tom, a few years earlier. Friends said they looked like a power couple at first, she a rising influencer, he a business consultant with a military background. But behind that surface, the marriage was strained. Arguments grew louder. Friends told investigators that Alexis sometimes stayed elsewhere after fights. At least once, she said she had been frightened by his temper. The homicide team built a timeline from witness interviews, text messages, and social media posts. The night before she was found, Alexis had dinner with two close friends. They described her as anxious but determined. She talked about separation, about taking time for herself, about feeling watched. She said she was ready to leave, but wanted to do it carefully. She was smiling by the end of the evening, laughing over dessert, promising to call when she got home. Investigators confirmed that she returned home briefly after that dinner. Security footage placed her at the apartment complex just before 6:30. She parked, entered through the side gate, and was seen heading toward her unit. What happened after that was still unclear. Her phone records told part of the story. She exchanged a few messages with friends around 7:30. After that, her communication stopped. Her last known location pinged within a small radius of her apartment before going dark just after 9 p.m. Detectives compared that with her husband's phone data. Tom Sharkey's device had moved between their apartment and a nearby area during those same hours. When asked, he said he had been driving around to clear his head. He insisted he hadn't seen Alexis after their argument earlier that evening. As the investigation deepened, friends began sharing more. They told detectives that Alexis often confided her fears in private messages. She described emotional strain, control, and moments when she felt cornered. One friend recalled her saying she sometimes pretended to be cheerful online to keep up appearances for sponsors. She was exhausted by the pressure to appear perfect. Forensics teams studied physical evidence from both the apartment and the roadside. Trace fibers found on Alexis's body matched materials common to her home. Hair samples were consistent with her own brush and pillow, indicating she had likely died elsewhere before being moved. Tire marks near the dump site matched a vehicle consistent with the couple's Jeep. Those details were not yet conclusive, but they pointed investigators toward the possibility of a staged disposal. The medical examiner's full report arrived in early January. It confirmed death by strangulation, ruling out accident or overdose. There were no drugs or alcohol in her system. The manner of death was listed as homicide. Detectives now began the careful work of building probable cause. They revisited every recorded interview with Tom Sharkey. His stories, they noted, shifted slightly each time. He described different hours, different routes, even different moods during the night in question. The inconsistencies were small but important. Meanwhile, Alexis's mother and sisters cooperated closely with detectives. They shared private messages that revealed her emotional state in the final weeks. In them, Alexis expressed fear that her marriage was collapsing and that she might not be safe. She mentioned wanting to move out and stay with family over the holidays. Those words, time-stamped days before her death, became critical evidence of intent. The digital evidence told a second story, one that played out in silence. Investigators recovered deleted texts between the couple from earlier that month. The tone was sharp, filled with accusations and pleas. At one point, Alexis wrote that she was tired of being controlled. Another message from Tom replied, "You're not leaving me." To the public, the investigation appeared to move slowly. Weeks passed without an arrest or major update. Police remained tight-lipped, knowing that every detail released too soon could compromise the case. Reporters continued to call, and local stations aired nightly segments with recycled footage and speculation. Privately, detectives met with prosecutors to review their findings. The circumstantial evidence, phone data, digital records, witness statements, and forensic links formed a growing pattern, but they still lacked a direct admission or eyewitness account. During this time, Tom Sharkey began distancing himself from Houston. He stopped posting on social media, moved to Florida to stay with relatives, and avoided interviews. Friends said he appeared isolated and paranoid. Some tried to contact him. Most got no response. By spring, the case file exceeded several hundred pages. Every line of communication between the couple was cataloged. Detectives had mapped their movements for the final month. They concluded that Alexis had likely died at home during a confrontation, and that her body had been moved hours later under cover of darkness. When detectives revisited the apartment complex, neighbors recalled hearing a thud late that Friday night. No one reported it at the time, thinking it was ordinary noise. That memory, months later, added another small piece to the puzzle. The case then entered a long lull. The COVID-19 pandemic had slowed court processes, lab work, and travel for follow-up interviews. Still, the team stayed with it, using quiet months to strengthen the evidence chain. They gathered surveillance footage from traffic cameras near the route to the dump site. In one blurry frame, a Jeep resembling the Sharkey's vehicle appeared within the relevant window. By late 2021, the accumulated weight of evidence convinced investigators they had enough to proceed. Prosecutors reviewed the file and agreed to move toward charges. A warrant was prepared for Tom Sharkey's arrest. On November 29, 2021, almost 1 year to the day after Alexis's body was found, Houston police coordinated with U.S. Marshals to locate him in Fort Myers, Florida. The plan was to arrest him quietly at a relative's home and transport him back to Texas. But when officers arrived that morning, they found him dead from a self-inflicted gunshot wound. The news spread quickly. For investigators, it was the conclusion of a long, draining case. For Alexis's family, it was a hollow form of closure. They would never hear an admission, never face a trial, never get the full story of that night. Public reaction came in waves. Influencers who had once collaborated with Alexis posted tributes. Her followers filled comment sections with grief and outrage. Many spoke about the hidden violence that can exist behind polished images. Domestic abuse advocates used her story to raise awareness about emotional control and warning signs that often go unseen. Detectives issued a final statement. Evidence confirmed that Tom Sharkey had been the primary suspect and that the charge of murder had been authorized before his death. The case, though legally closed, left lasting questions about perception, about silence, and about the gap between public image and private reality. Forensic reports were sealed, but excerpts shared with family confirmed the timeline investigators had long suspected. The data, the physical traces, and the interviews all pointed to a domestic argument turned fatal. The simplicity of the conclusion did not ease the pain of those who loved her. As winter faded, her mother spoke publicly for the first time since the case closed. She thanked investigators for their persistence and urged others to recognize early signs of control in relationships. "If something feels off," she said, "say it out loud. Don't wait." The story that began with a polished influencer had ended as a lesson about truth and vulnerability. Her death forced a reckoning within the world she once thrived in. Behind the ring lights and perfect captions, many others began to speak up about what they had been hiding. For law enforcement, the Sharkey case served as a study in patience, how digital lives can conceal and reveal in equal measure. Every clue had been buried in data, every truth filtered through performance. In the end, the investigation showed that even in a world built on exposure, some realities remain hidden until it's too late. As one detective said quietly in the closing briefing, "She lived her life for everyone to see, but died completely unseen." Chapter 3: The Break and Aftermath. In the months after the warrant and suicide, the Sharkey case entered its final phase. The formal file was complete, but the story lingered on social media, in domestic violence circles, and among those who had once followed Alexis for beauty advice and daily affirmations. For many, her death became a symbol of what can hide behind a curated life. Detectives finished the paperwork quietly. Their conclusion was clear. The evidence tied Alexis's final hours to her husband. Digital data, forensic traces, and corroborating statements formed a chain that held even without a confession. When Tom Sharkey's body was found in Florida, the warrant sat ready for service. Within hours, Houston detectives confirmed that the charge would have been first-degree murder. The official statement was brief. It laid out the facts: a 1-year investigation, multiple forensic matches, and an arrest warrant rendered moot by suicide. There were no surprises, no speculation, only a single acknowledgement that Alexis's family had been informed first, before the news reached the public. Her mother's phone rang that morning. The detective's voice was calm but heavy. He explained what had happened, how they had flown to Florida, how officers had found Tom inside the home. There would be no trial, he said, but there was no doubt about who was responsible. She thanked him through tears, unable to decide whether the news was closure or another kind of loss. In Houston, the apartment stood empty. Neighbors had long since stopped expecting updates. The small memorial near the roadside had faded, flowers dried, photos bleached by the sun. For investigators, it marked the end of a long pursuit. For Alexis's friends, it reopened memories that refused to settle. They remembered the early days, when she moved to Texas full of hope. She was ambitious, social, always planning new projects. They also remembered how the brightness dimmed. The small remarks she made about control, about being isolated, about never feeling free. Many admitted they had dismissed her concerns at first. She was independent, confident, strong. It was hard to imagine her trapped in fear. When the final case summary was released to the family, it filled nearly 500 pages. Each section mapped her last weeks: digital patterns, phone pings, vehicle data, financial records. The evidence told a clear story. There had been escalating conflict, isolation from friends, and a buildup of control that ended in violence. Police never found evidence of premeditation beyond the immediate argument. They believed the death occurred during a confrontation late that Friday night. Afterward, the body had been moved to the roadside location before dawn. It was staged to appear random, but the details betrayed familiarity. The chosen spot was close enough to home to suggest panic, not planning. In the months that followed, Houston's homicide unit reviewed its handling of the case. They cited persistence and cooperation across states as key reasons it reached a conclusion. But internally, officers admitted frustration. Without a living suspect, they could not present a courtroom narrative or cross-examination. The case would close as cleared by exception, a bureaucratic phrase that never satisfied those who had followed the story. Public attention turned to what Alexis's death represented. Domestic violence advocates began citing her name in workshops and campaigns. They spoke about the dangers of emotional abuse, the signs of isolation, and the pressures that keep victims silent. Her image, once the face of effortless success, became a symbol for prevention. Social media, the stage that had once celebrated her, became a space of reflection. Influencers who had built similar careers posted candid messages about mental health, control, and authenticity. The glossy perfection of the previous decade began to crack, replaced by posts that felt more raw, more real. Many credited Alexis for forcing that change, even through tragedy. Her family started a small scholarship fund in her memory. It supported young women pursuing communications and social media careers, with one condition attached to each award. Recipients must complete a certified domestic safety workshop. Her mother said she wanted others to have what her daughter never had: a clear understanding of boundaries, warning signs, and where to seek help. At the Houston Police Department, one of the lead detectives kept a single page from the file pinned above his desk. It showed the original crime scene photo, not the body itself, but the surroundings: the empty road, the trees, the pale morning light. For him, it was a reminder of what still goes unseen in everyday life. He later said in an interview, "When you spend months in these cases, you start to notice patterns. People live online, but their real struggles stay hidden. We have to learn to look past the screen." In early 2022, a small group of journalists revisited the case for a documentary. They interviewed family, friends, and law enforcement. The film focused less on the crime itself and more on the contrast between appearance and reality. They showed side-by-side images, her public posts beside her private messages, her smiling videos next to the police footage of empty rooms. The visual contrast spoke louder than narration ever could. Viewers who had once followed her for style tips now saw the story differently. It was no longer about beauty or influence, but about the silent pressures that come with constant performance. Every follower, every caption had built an illusion that turned heavier with time. In the final minutes of the documentary, Alexis's mother's voice broke through the quiet. "She was loved," she said. "She just didn't know how to step away. She thought she had to keep smiling for everyone else." The film aired nationwide and sparked renewed discussion. Commentators debated the ethics of influencer culture, the impact of social validation, and the ways abusive relationships exploit public images. The consensus was simple but sobering. What we see online is never the full story. Meanwhile, life in Houston moved on. The road where her body was found returned to routine. Drivers passed the spot without knowing its history. The flowers from her memorial were cleared by city workers, the same crew who had first discovered her that morning. For those closest to her, time softened the edges of grief, but not the lesson it carried. Friends spoke of her kindness, her humor, her relentless drive. They said she deserved more than to be remembered as a headline. Each year, they gathered privately to light candles and share stories that the internet never saw. The small moments of generosity, the way she listened, the laughter that once filled quiet rooms. In the end, the case of Alexis Sharkey remained what it had been from the start, a story about perception and truth. The police could document facts. The media could broadcast timelines. But only those who truly knew her could explain what it felt like to live inside an image that no longer matched reality. Her life, brief but visible, left an imprint on how people talk about relationships and control in the digital age. The investigation answered the question of who, but not the deeper question of why. A question that echoed beyond the evidence, into every life built around screens and validation. As one of her friends said during the final interview for the documentary, "She taught us something without meaning to. You can have thousands of followers and still feel invisible. That's the part we all have to change." And so the story closed where it began, in silence on a quiet Houston street under a soft Texas sky. Only this time, her name carried more than tragedy. It carried a reminder, behind every perfect picture, there might be someone fighting to be seen.